Accidents are an unavoidable fact of life. Or are they? In this podcast, we discuss current events through one personal injury lawyer's perspective. In each episode, we'll focus on one event and attempt to answer the oftentimes not-so-simple question, who's to blame? I'm your host, Jonathan Ratchick.
This podcast is sponsored by the law firm of Kramer & Levy & Ratchick, PLLC, and is for entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as legal advice and does not create an attorney-client relationship. If you think you might have a lawsuit, you should contact an attorney.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, and due to social distancing restrictions imposed on indoor fitness facilities across the country, millions of Americans stopped going to the gym and began working out in their own homes. In turn, the sale of health and fitness equipment soared. One such at-home fitness company, Peloton, saw its sales surge to roughly $1.8 billion in 2020, roughly double its sales from the year before. The euphoria surrounding Peloton's success was dampened in March of this year, however, after a child in San Francisco was killed by one of its popular treadmill products, the $4,300 Tread Plus. As of the date of broadcast of this episode, we do not know how the Tread Plus may have caused or contributed to the death of this child. Out of its respect for the family's privacy, Peloton has not disclosed the circumstances surrounding this incident. We do know, however, that the Federal Consumer Products Safety Commission is investigating the incident. We also know that Peloton is aware of a number of incidents in which its product caused injury to a child. In this episode of The Blame Game, we try to answer the question of who, if anyone, is to blame for this child's tragic death. Does Peloton bear any legal responsibility for what happened to the child? Or was it simply an unavoidable tragedy which the company could not have anticipated, no less prevented? And to help us answer these questions, we turn to Anthony Gittens. Anthony is a certified personal trainer here in New York City. After serving in the United States Marine Corps, Anthony went on to found Element Fitness, a concierge personal training company which, in his own words, makes fitness better. So welcome to the Blame Game, Anthony.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. How are you?
Living the dream, my friend.
Always the best.
So, Anthony, what can you tell us about the Peloton Tread Plus? I understand you've used it and other treadmills in training your own clients. Am I correct?
Yes, I have. The Peloton Tread Plus is a unique piece of equipment that was designed to enhance Peloton's footprint within the fitness market. It differs from every other treadmill simply because it comes with actual treads. So it has slats of rubber that creates the actual belt on the treadmill, which every other treadmill has one belt. The actual belt on the Peloton Tread Plus has multiple slats of rubber.
So like a belt as in like a belt in a car?
Yeah, in which you have those small segments of that entire belt system that actually grips onto something. So it has opportunities where it's not solid. When it goes around the front end and the back end of the treadmill, it becomes loose.
Sure.
So you could actually fit fingers or toes in between those slats.
So one of the things that I came across is, according to the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, in 2019, estimated that emergency departments had treated over 22,000 treadmill-related injuries, 2,000 of which involved children under the age of 8. And apparently, treadmill-related injuries represent 2/3 of all exercise equipment injuries. How do most of these incidents occur on a treadmill?
Pretty easily, actually. For the most part, every treadmill is designed with a safety key, in which if the safety key is removed, the treadmill immediately stops. It goes to a complete halt. For the most part, most people don't know how to attach that key to themselves, which would give them the opportunity to have the treadmill stop if they actually fell off the treadmill. So for the majority of these injuries, the treadmill is still going. So it had actually causing either rug burns or it pulls an arm or a leg underneath the treadmill based on how the actual belt is running.
And I think I suspect a lot of people end up falling off the treadmill. Is that correct?
Yes. Particularly because of how it's placed within the environment of the treadmill. So based on the manufacturer of treadmills, it's recommended that you have about 3 feet of space on either side or to the front of the treadmill, and about 6.5 feet of space behind the treadmill. So if you do fall off, you fall away from the treadmill versus at the treadmill.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because, you know, one of the things that I read across is, I mean, there are, every year there are like maybe like a number of fatalities, or there have been a number of fatalities reported involving treadmills, and one of which was, you know, the CEO of SurveyMonkey, who while on vacation in Mexico fell off of a treadmill and apparently hit his head, which caused a brain bleed, and I think he died from his injuries later on. Yeah, I guess that's how it happens. You know, once you fall off one of these treadmills, anything can happen, I suspect.
Absolutely. I mean, it's predominantly based on accommodation, right? So if you go to a resort, they want to accommodate as many people within the gym environment as possible. So proper spacing for those treadmills are probably not, you know, absolute. So that's probably one of the reasons why if he fell, he probably just fell and banged his head either against a wall or another.
So probably, again, what you touched on earlier, the reason why it's important to have appropriate clearance.
Proper spacing.
One of the things you mentioned earlier was a safety key, and I understand this is one of the safeguards that treadmills have in order to reduce the risk of injury. And I think even after this incident involving the child with the Peloton, the CEO of Peloton issued a statement reminding users to remove the safety key and keep it out of reach of children and anyone else who should not be able to start the Tread Plus. So just to go back to that, what exactly is one of these safety keys and how does it work?
So safety key is a magnet attachment that shuts off the treadmill immediately in case of an emergency. So at the end of a safety key, you have basically a clip that would clip onto your pants or a shirt. So as you're using the treadmill, if you happen to not remain focused moving on the treadmill and you step off the treadmill inadvertently, the magnet pops off very easily, which then stops the treadmill immediately. Like it's an absolute stop. It's almost like slamming your foot on the brake of a vehicle that's only moving about half a mile an hour. So it's an immediate jerk and stop. And that gives rise to, if that is used properly, the number of injuries that occur annually.
Is there a way to use the Tread Plus or other treadmills without the safety key?
Not at all. Without the safety key attached, there's even with the treadmill plugged in, there's no way that the treadmill could actually start. And that's one of the best safety parameters for treadmill manufacturers.
So in any product liability lawsuit, which this, you know, if there was a lawsuit arising out of this incident, it would likely be one. You know, it's typically alleged that, you know, the product was defectively designed. Yeah, in any type of these cases, though, there always has to be what they call a feasible alternative. In other words, a different design that was available and could have prevented the incident from occurring. Now, given that we don't know how this incident involving this child occurred, you know, we're probably not in a position to, you know, speculate or opine as to what that feasible alternative could have been. But I know you mentioned earlier that, you know, the Tread Plus is designed differently than the other treadmills because of the presence of actual treads on the running or the walking surface. Do those treads increase the likelihood of injury? I mean, I imagine you mentioned earlier, you know, maybe you can get a finger or a body part caught inside them. But what about, you know, what about like serious physical injury or even death? I mean,
so because you have these actual opportunities for something to be attached to the treadmill, piece of clothing, finger, toes, based on when the person is off the treadmill to when an attachment to the treadmill can happen. A person, based on how fast that treadmill is moving, could be pulled under the treadmill, which then you have the weight of the treadmill on that person, or the belt of the treadmill constantly moving on that person with the weight on that person. So it's almost similar to having a golf cart, just kind of like resting on top of an individual who probably is already in a diminished capacity based on how hard they're breathing. It will be difficult for that person to actually catch their breath or determine what can be done to be able to alleviate the stress that they are placed in at that moment.
I imagine that would be like if you're looking at a child or even an infant, that could be a fatal amount of pressure being applied.
Yes, disorientation because they have no idea where they are based on how quickly they're moved under the treadmill, the pressure of a treadmill, and the constant movement of the belt. Yes, then in all likelihood, that puts a child in a precarious position to be either fatally injured or seriously injured.
How could a child be trapped underneath the treadmill? Wouldn't the safety key have shut it off?
Safety key would have shut it off if an adult or someone in a leadership role placed the safety key on that child, which will then prevent the child from continuously being placed in a danger if they fell off the treadmill.
Where else would the key be, though?
The only place that the key will actually make any form of good for a person being on the treadmill is being on their person. So the opportunity for that person to cause the treadmill to stop, absolutely 100%. Individual don't have to worry about an injury whatsoever.
Assuming there was nothing wrong with the design of the Tread Plus, that still leaves the question of whether the product was accompanied by adequate and appropriate warnings. And I think that if there's any litigation that arises out of this incident, this could be the theory with the greatest likelihood of any success. And I don't know if you've had a chance to read, Anthony, through the manual for the Tread Plus, but there's no what we call in the legal industry a black box warning that children are at risk of serious injury or death if they use the product. There is a risk that if the product is not, if it's misused, that there's a risk of injury or death. But it's kind of just jumbled in there with all the other warnings, and it doesn't really have any prominence. It doesn't stick out. It doesn't capture the reader's attention that it's a real and heightened risk. And this is really no different from the other treadmill manufacturers, most of which state in very general terms that children shouldn't use the treadmill. And again, the manual for the Tread Plus states, keep children and animals away from the Tread Plus, and that children under the age of 16 may not use the Tread Plus. And even after the incident, the CEO of Peloton, again, in the statement that he issued, told users to keep children away from the Peloton exercise equipment at all times, and that before beginning a workout, double check to make sure that the space around your Peloton exercise equipment is clear. And I really think, maybe you can answer this for me, they're not answering the question of why. Why should children be kept away from the Tread Plus and not use it? What are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts are twofold, John. First off, we are a reactionary population. So if there's no concept of a problem, we won't tend to it unless there is a problem. So there's no forethought on that. Secondly, in the same way that you wouldn't allow children to be in the kitchen playing with knives when they are young, it's the same reason you wouldn't want to put them on a treadmill, not educating them properly on how to use the treadmill. Like, you get on the treadmill first, you don't turn it on. You put the key on first, the safety key on first, then you turn the treadmill on. You find a safe speed in which you're moving on the treadmill. At that point in time, you can then increase the speed to where you feel like you're adequately getting a good cardiovascular workout. But there's no education behind it. So for the most part, most companies just slap this general label on, indicating that children shouldn't use this. But children can use this if given the right education. When my children are on the treadmill, which both are under the age of 11, when they're on the treadmill, the safety key is on, and they run at a pace which I've educated them on that is suitable for their fitness level. They're not ready for marathons, and they're not ready for 100 relays.
Next year, maybe.
On the treadmill. Maybe. But they just need to be on a treadmill to be comfortable and to get some level of cardio fitness. That's all it is. Proper education once the machine is there, either by the parent or guardian or an adult or the manufacturer that brings the treadmill over, should send over an individual to give a good education on how to use it. Or better yet, hire a certified personal trainer.
Absolutely. How to make that happen. I know a fantastic one if anyone needs a needs a referral.
Yeah, I know a few of them too. they all work on my team.
And that's what I don't understand about the warnings. I mean, I don't know if an average parent or an average, you know, treadmill owner or a Peloton Tread Plus owner knows the risks that this piece of equipment poses to a child. You know, it seems like it's just a harmless piece of equipment that sits in the corner of your room. When it's not being used, it either collects dust or it's used as a hanger. That's been the experience in my household. And it does an excellent job at it, too.
that's also happening in my home as well. When it's not being used, that's what happens.
But all jokes aside, I mean, how is someone supposed to know that this innocuous-looking piece of equipment is a potential death trap for a child? Unless there's really, I think, a black box warning to that effect in the user's manual. You know, not just some general warning that's mixed in with, you know, 50 other warnings that, you know, that people might not be reading.
I think based on what recently happened with the Peloton machine, I think the best course of action for that specific company and all other treadmill company is to have an exact video, kind of like a video manual on the do's and don'ts of the treadmill and what can actually make the treadmill more efficient for them. So I think that should be the best course of action moving forward, so that it's no longer just someone is going to read to make sure that they're doing this correctly. It's more along the lines of, I have reading material for them to use. And if I don't have the reading material to use, just go ahead and watch the video that comes with the piece of equipment to make it work. Okay, so as we've been going through all of this, John, I do have a really curious question. So we're talking about the company's liability, but what about the parental's liability? How does that, you know, go within the legal?
That's a great question, Anthony. And I think certainly listeners who come across an incident or an incident like this are certainly wondering, well, what about the parent's responsibility? Don't they have any responsibility or legal responsibility for what happened to the child? And I can't speak to California where this incident took place. I can only speak to New York. And in New York, you know, the state's highest court in a decision, might be like 30, 40 years ago now, held that parents do not have a legal duty to supervise their children under most circumstances. There are some exceptions to that, but as a general rule, a parent does not have a legal duty to supervise their children. And what that means is that in the event that there was a lawsuit brought against Peloton then can't, what they say, bring a third party action or a countersuit against the parent to say, well, if this child was injured because of our negligence, we can seek contribution or indemnification from the parent, because in reality, it's our claim that the parent was negligent in supervising her child or his child, and that's the real reason why this tragedy occurred. And New York courts say, you're not allowed to do that. We're not going to impose that type of burden on parents, because there's just no limit to the liability of parents then. You could always probably look at any incident and say, well, if the child was under greater supervision from the parents, it would not have happened. So the courts have put an end to that. And really, if there's any liability in the case, and this would be a difficult case, if there's any blame to go around, you know, it arguably could be on Peloton, perhaps, for maybe the design, the way that they're designing their treadmills differently, maybe for not having appropriate warnings in their manual, or even perhaps maybe this is just, you know, one of those tragedies where No one is legally to blame. You know, probably happens more and more because more and more people are working out at home these days. It's a terrible incident to happen. And certainly, you know, my thoughts and prayers certainly go out to the family of this child. Well, Anthony, I do want to thank you for coming on the Blame Game this morning.
My pleasure, Jonathan. My pleasure. It was absolutely wonderful. Thank you very much for including me in this conversation.
Anytime, man. I hope to see you in person soon.
Likewise, my brother. Likewise.
All right, man.
Thank you very much again. All right. Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Blame Game. This episode was brought to you by Kramer, Dunleavy, and Ratchick PLLC. Come check us out at kdrpilawyers.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. It's very much appreciated. Thank you, and have a great day.